The advice provided by our parenting experts are not intended or implied as a substitute for professional medical advice, nor for medical diagnosis or treatment. Your reliance on the information provided by the experts is at your own risk. Depending on individual and personal facts and circumstances, your medical doctor's recommendation on treatment and management may vary. Please continue to consult your own healthcare professional.
Hello, everyone. This is another episode of the Parenting Podcast, Real Parents Facing Modern Problems Together. I make up one half of this podcast. You've got me, Jelly Victor.
And you've got the other half right here. My name is JC Alelis. This podcast is, of course, brought to us by Wyeth Nutrition Parenting. And we want to thank Podcast Network Asia for producing it.
For making us a part of it. Thank you, Wyeth Nutrition and Podcast Network Asia. Now, just like JC said, we've had the pleasure of speaking to several moms and dads on the show. And one thing that I've noticed is that each and every one of them would have their goals. They bring forth their own lessons from their experience, and they all have their own unique parenting styles.
And I'm really learning a lot about the experiences that they share. So I'm really excited about this particular parent that we have here because he has a wealth of experience as far as being a father is concerned, because he's a dad for four kids. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Finding your unique parenting style, defining what kind of father, what kind of mother are you. And to help us talk about unique parenting styles, we've got the one and only Pastor Paolo Punzalan.
Wow. With Paolo being a dad to four kids, that is plenty of varied experience under his belt. Now, he is indeed the perfect person to talk to. He has also been a guidance counselor for 7 years, the kids ministry director for 11 years, and is currently the senior pastor of the Victory Fort in BGC.
Not only does he parent his kids, he also helps other parents guide their own families. He's an amazing guest. We're so excited to have him. To add to that, he's also a seminar speaker for family, marriage, and parenting. And behind that, behind his wisdom, he has a master's degree in leadership and evangelism from the Wheaton Graduate School in Wheaton, Illinois.
He backs it up. Now, if that is not enough to make it worth the listen, maybe this would. He has been married to Jen for 25 years and is the father to Nathan, who recently got married to Pauline, dad to Janina, Ryan, and Joaquin.
We're not going to keep you guys waiting. This is episode 5, Finding the Right Parenting Style with Pastor Paolo Punzalan.
Marriage. Time plays a very important role. So I'm here today to challenge anyone who's married with kids or going to go down that path one day to really think about your time.
Pregnancy.
Pregnancy is a really great experience.
And there can be this amazing feeling of pride.
Parenthood.
It's about balancing the now with the future while teaching the right habits and hoping that your kids grow up to be great.
This is the Parenting Podcast, powered by Podcast Network Asia, brought to you by Wyeth Nutrition.
Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 5 of the Parenting Podcast, brought to you by Wyeth, and we are real parents facing modern problems together. We want to thank again Wyeth Nutrition for bringing us together here today with our guest, Mr. Paolo Punzalan. And I want to say thank you again to Sir Paolo. Hello, sir.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
We will be addressing him as Sir Paolo, sometimes Pastor Paolo, and that's because he answers to all. You'll find out later on why.
Absolutely. And again, this is an awesome twosome that you're hearing today. My name is JC Alelis.
And my name is Jelly Victor. We'll get right into it. I know you guys can't wait. Today, we are going to discuss parenting styles because that's, you know, finding the right way or what works with your kids is really key, I believe, in bringing up your children. And this gentleman that we have right here has successfully parented his four kids, which goes to show that he's got, quite the experience under his belt. So we'll get right into that right now. Hello, Pastor Paolo.
Hello, good afternoon. Hi.
Okay. JC has two kids, both under 4. I have one daughter. She is 5. So you can tell that we are really newbies. We are still feeling it out. But somebody like yourself who's been married for 25 years with 4 kids, you'll be able to share quite a lot of your experience. The first thing we want to know is, what is life like with 4 kids?
Okay. Well, you said that successfully parented. That's debatable.
Okay.
I cannot say that I'm an expert because my wife's a better parent, actually. But anyway, having 4 kids is a lot of fun. It's been great seeing them grow up. I have a 24-year-old that just recently got married a couple months ago. So they are now honeymooning in quarantine. And then I have a 21-year-old daughter. And only daughter, and then 16-year-old, young man, and then of course our youngest is 11 years old.
Oh wow, they're well spaced out.
Pretty much.
Do you have 4 kids, you have kids that are practically already grown up, so you can see the results of your parenting.
Yeah.
And if I can comment also, I guess one of the hallmarks, I would say, of a successful parent is having the humility to say that, you know, maybe I'm not ready to call myself a successful parent yet. And I think that's the only part that I'm probably getting right, Jelly. The humility that I saying that I don't know anything.
Yeah. Plus, I would also like to delve into why he thinks the wife is a better parent. Like, what's what's the barometer of saying one is better than the other? Like, how can you tell?
Well, to be honest, parenting is team. It's teamwork, a lot of teamwork. And what's beautiful about parenting together is you do have strengths, and she does have too. And those really help and complement and, you know, help along the way as you parent the two. And so, again, I guess, in a sense, I think about some of her strengths and the way she's able to. She's more patient. She's more the organized one. I guess I'm the more spontaneous one. And I guess both will work if you have two different personalities as parents. So it's a matter of being able to have, the key is to have a conversation and to have agreement. Agreement is very important because, you know, kids, they can play you and they can actually, they're very smart. They can, if I don't get it from dad, I'm going to get it from mom. You know, if I don't get the nod from dad, from mom, I'll get it from dad. So that kind of thing.
So how do you make sure that, like, for example, do you guys talk about whose style you're going to follow with a particular child? And is your parenting style with one child the same for all the others? Or does it vary as well?
Yeah, I think all of us will, in a sense, have an answer to that question because everyone's unique, right? And so there's a sensing in all of us that every child's different. And so some are tenderhearted where you will have to couch something that you're saying, especially when during correction, you'll have to couch it in a way that, okay, I'm getting there, but I'll get there through gentle means, right? There are those you can be pretty straightforward and just, you know, nonchalantly get into that conversation without worrying about what they would feel. You'd still worry about what they'd feel, but at least you can go more straight and direct.
I'm thinking it has been for sure quite a journey for you. But let's go back to when you were a new dad, just kind of figuring things out for the first time. How would you describe your parenting style back then when you were still a new dad, you know, and also in the context of being in a team with your wife versus now that you've learned a thing or two, you've made a few mistakes for sure. How would you compare and contrast those two yous?
That's a great question. I guess we've become more relaxed through the years. Of course, you, as a new dad before and new parents, we were pretty tense and unsure, uncertain. We did not know what to expect. There were times we were quite legalistic. We would read a book and then, oh, we got to do it this way, right? We, you know, and of course, it's interesting that there are lots of books out there. Some books, they would agree with one another. Some books, they say, no, that's not the right way. You know, and so, so I guess through the journey, you discover. I think that's when you begin to realize, okay, every child's different. And then what worked with the one may not work with the other. And so I guess the being the student of your child, that makes a whole makes a whole lot of difference if you start doing that. So yeah, so it's different in a way that we're more relaxed. We know what to expect and less legalistic, as I said.
I want to bounce on that thing that you said, that there's a lot of sources of wisdom, you know, branded differently, different kinds of wisdom from different sources, that for sure a lot of parents are finding themselves pulled in different directions, confused on what to do,
and perhaps inundated
with so much information, analysis paralysis, right? Mm-hmm. What should guide you as a new parent? What's the, like what Jelly said, what's the barometer of whether something is, you know, worth doing, or something is truly good for you versus something that should be set aside?
Right. That's a great question. Besides being a student of your child, there are timeless principles. And, you know, of course, love is a timeless principle. Patience is a timeless principle. And so there are things that you will want to stick with. There are trends and there are fads and there are new ways of doing things. And I said, and like what I said, there are, because there are timeless principles, there are also methodologies, and methodologies will change, you know, through the time. And because our culture changes, our circumstances change, the global pandemic has changed a lot of things. And so we're going to need flexibility. Flexibility is a power. Agility is a superpower. And so being able to be agile in these times and to change parenting styles every so often. But again, with that those timeless principles weaving through those methodologies.
Pastor Paolo, there's a lot of articles, talks on how, especially for new parents, we have a tendency to dump on our children all of our unmet needs as a child. What's your take on that?
Like unmet needs and dreams?
Unmet needs and dreams and goals we weren't able to fulfill, whatever it was that we didn't get as a child from our parents, we have a tendency to either ask for it so much from our child so they fill up those holes in us, or we give too much of it. What's your say?
Yeah. A child is a design. Every child is designed for something. They're hardwired for a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. And so being able to discover that, we're told a proverb is given to us that to train a child in the way they should go, and then when they're old, they will not depart from that. And so to be able to discover that and find a way, okay, which way does he need to go? Which direction is he taking? Which purpose and destiny is he supposed to be? And so now, and for me, again, I love playing basketball. I have three boys. And so I wanted all three boys to be basketball players, right? Only one, okay? I don't know about the youngest one. We'll see. But I think, you know, sometimes in our desire to, like for me, I'm a frustrated PBA player, right? And I didn't make it there. I didn't even make it to college ball, right? But so, you do your very best. You give him a lot of the, you know, stuff that he needs to become a basketball player. But
yeah, you expose them to everything.
At the end of the day, what is it that's they've been designed to be and do, right? And so, and plus, you know, what you do is you expose them to many as possible, and then they will figure out and they will find it out along the way. Because what happens is if we force certain things, there's going to be resentment. If there are things that we try to force into their day-to-day, again, exposure is different from forcing. You know, you bring them to a basketball game. I wanted to be the coach for my son. So my first love was baseball. And so we got into baseball and I became
very Michael Jordan-ish.
And so so I was the coach for my son. But then later on, he didn't like baseball, right? And so at least there's exposure. but now you realize, okay, they, like for my 24-year-old son, okay, he's now married and he was, I exposed him to basketball, I exposed him to football, but he's really not just an athletic type of personality. You know, okay. He's more artistic. He loves music. He composes music. Physicality in terms of that, he loves parkour. He loves all these different major extreme longboarding. Okay. So it's not the typical sports, like the mainstream.
Not team sports.
Yeah, not the mainstream team sports, right?
Okay.
So he discovered it, right? And so, but the experiences of the past helped him determine who he wants to be today and for the future.
You brought up resentment. You wanted to avoid the kids resenting you for some reason. That would have to be one of my fears, you know, for my daughter. I also would like to avoid her resenting me for anything. Do you still recall any fears that you had from, say, when you were a parent to Nathan all the way to Joaquin?
Mm-hmm. Fears, I guess. Well, personally for me, will I be a good dad? Right? That would be my fear because I didn't grow up with one. My parents separated before I turned 1 year old. My first birthday party, my dad wasn't there. I didn't see him for 15 years. I got to see him 16 years and it's just God reconciled that relationship. It's another story for another time. But for me, it's like I did not have a role model. I did not have a father figure growing up. And will I actually be a good dad? And so that was one of the major fears I had.
Yeah, I can just imagine.
You know what? I think we all have these fears before we do have our kids. And then suddenly they're here and the fears kind of never end. And one of the things that they're just magnified and they kind of evolve also. So if I may share also, one of the things that, so I don't think I ever mentioned this in the show, but my dad died when I was very young. I was 14 and it was kind of that period when I was defining myself. And then that was the time that, you know, we lost him. And I guess one of the things that I think about with regard to my son is trying to have a relationship with him, or how will I bond with my son when he gets to that stage, for example, that he's really becoming his own person. And you've done it, I think, three times already with your three sons and once with your daughter. How do you create that solid relationship with your kids? You shared that you have a fondness for basketball. Obviously, that's an entry point for one of your kids who loves basketball. But what if they don't? What if you don't have anything in common? How do you bond with your kids?
That's a wonderful question. I think what we can do is to try to enter their world. It's very normal these days, you know, of course, because of gadgets these days and being on screens. Now, even online learning, because of the school setting that we have, they're forced to be on the screens. And so the easiest thing for me, because I have an 11-year-old and a 16-year-old in online school. And so they're saying the easiest thing to do is for me to go and say, you're always on screen, right? Why don't you just stop and do something else, right? Why don't you just get out of that? You're addicted to it, right? But rather than doing that, maybe for me, what I can do is get into that world and say, okay, what are you watching? You know, what have you been listening to? And explain TikTok to me.
That was my next question.
What's that dancing move? Yeah, teach me that move. And of course, they're going to say, oh, dad.
See ya.
I knew somehow that TikTok was going to come into the conversation. I was wondering if you were doing the choreography yet. You know, you said a wonderful statement earlier about you are a student of your child. Do you believe in this movement now for awakened parents, conscious parents, to instead of parent their children, they have to parent themselves?
In a certain sense, I see where that's coming from. I guess the challenge with parenting, especially when you're a dad of toddlers or even elementary age student, you're actually building the airplane while it's flying, if that makes sense, right?
Yes.
When I use that metaphor, I use a bicycle. Right? Yours is and much more dangerous. More life-threatening.
More life-threatening and daunting.
When we went to college, we didn't take parenting 101.
True.
Right? And so we did not know all these things. In fact, you wouldn't even listen to a parenting podcast if you're not a parent, right? You'd listen to finance or relationships, but not a parenting podcast, right? And so we're just more aware now, right? For me, yes, part of it is to be able to get some healing, restoration, awakening. I understand. But at the same time, I don't know if you can actually get complete healing and fill up all the holes, because I guess every day is a discovery. Every day is you learn things like, oh gosh, I can't believe I did that, right? Or and even this, right? The other day, I just had to apologize to my son because, you know, of something I said. And I grew up not the parents not apologizing because ako yung matanda, I'm the older one, I'm all, you know, I'm right, right? So and it might diminish respect, at least from that perspective. But I realized, no, when you apologize to your son, it doesn't actually diminish their respect. It actually increases, because at 3 or 4 or 5, you're Superman to them. But when they're 13, 14, 15, they realize you are not, you have a kryptonite. All right. There is something there. So for me, it's better to just for it to come from you. And you know what? I'm really not a perfect parent. Is there anything I can do better? What can I do as a dad that will help you flourish in your purpose and destiny? And how can I do things better? Not that he will dictate. I don't mean that, because we're still the parent. They're the child, right? Our children don't need peers. They already have tons of them. They need parents. Right. And so, but at the same time, listening to the people, to your children, and being able to say, okay, how can I make it better from your perspective?
Something light. Do you guys have like a family WhatsApp group, and what, describe it to us? You guys like send memes and everything. How is it like?
Yeah, that's very active. We're on Telegram, our family. And so, yeah, memes, videos, updates. Silly stuff, jokes, and I guess every family has that. So it's very active, especially these days. It's very active because of all the stuff that you see online as well.
How else do you communicate with your kids? And do you have a different communication style with the older kids versus the younger ones? And when do you actually get to establish yourself as the parent and you as the friend or their barkada?
Yeah. You know, when they're younger, when you have a toddler or even elementary age, it's easier to, you know, because you're the authority. Change your pajamas, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, right? But obviously, as they grow older, that conversation will have to change. More than that, there's a lot of talking. There's a lot of, you know, activity combined with conversation. Like yesterday, my son's here, but anyway, yesterday, I said, you know, why don't you want us to just get chips from 7-Eleven? You know, you don't have to go down from the car. I'll get chips. So we got relationships. And in the process, while we're going there, I had a conversation about something we needed to talk about. And so sometimes, kasi pag diretsong straight on, hey, I need to talk to you about something, they clam up.
Of course, the walls are up. They're on guard.
So one way that we've learned through the years is, okay, you know, you want to get something. So in the process or whatever, can you shoot some hoops or should we, you know, do something, whatever that activity might be. Let's play some Lego. And while you're playing Lego, then your conversation shows up there. So that's one way to do it. The other way, another thing was, I guess parents, be good to learn the art and the skill of storytelling. Storytelling has been helpful for us, and it'll be different for every family. The way it has helped for me is, when I'm trying to address a concern, an issue, an attitude, I'm going to tell a story. You know, I'm going to tell a story. Yeah, you know what? I remember when I was young, I had a classmate, and because my attitude was crappy, right? Our relationship or our friendship, whatever the story is, right? And then talk to the person about, you know what? I noticed the other day when you had that tone of voice, you know, when you have that with another friend, that might not be the best way to communicate to your friend. Maybe there's another way to do it. And so rather than saying, hey, that's wrong, hey, I don't think that's a good idea, sometimes we've learned to tell stories.
Have you had a lot of occasion to use stronger methods of discipline on them? And if so, what did you do? And specifically, Any problems with conflicts? Because you got four kids, different ages. You know, for sure, discipline also comes in a lot when it comes to conflict between them. How do you discipline them in that regard?
Yeah. Discipline is a very important part of parenting. And there's two parts to discipline. There's the correction and there's the restoration. And so correction is when you straighten certain things, when you make sure whatever attitude, character flaw, something that they said, hurting, you know, in the home, especially when they were growing up, there were three major things that would merit discipline. That's lying, hurting, and direct disobedience. And so when they hurt another, there's discipline there. When they hurt somebody, that's discipline there. When there's an instruction and there's a directive and then there's a direct disobedience to it, then there's discipline and correction for it. And so we bring correction. It could be many different things, different ways. One correction would be a loss of a privilege, right? And so, again, this would be a conversation with you and your wife. For us, we employed spanking, right? And so I know there are different perspectives to that. So that's why there has to be agreement between the husband and the wife. And then sometimes it's, being cool for a bit, or at least going to your room, and then let's have a conversation after. And so again, employ different kinds of discipline. So there's the correction part, and then there's the restoration. The restoration part is important because sometimes we just correct children and then let them go without restoring that broken relationship, right? Because, you know, it somehow got broken because of whatever accusation, words, whatever has been said. And so there has to be a restoration. And so for the younger child, the restoration would mean after everything has been said and done, right? After the crying and the screaming, right? Then, you know, you do things to try to bring back things back to normal, right? And so for us, when they were younger, we would put them on the lap and pray with them and tell them, you know, we love you and we want to be able to see you grow in your fullest potential and who God created you to be. And then, specifically what we would do is we would, alam yung, parang yung horsey on the knee, or like our start up the roller coaster. Okay, there's a roller coaster now. Ooh, okay, we're going up, going down. So it breaks them and it basically communicates, oh, okay, I'm okay now with that. That's okay. He's not mad. He's just trying to discipline me and bring correction in my wrong ways.
Okay. Pastor Paulo, you know, I've had friends who've come to me with resentment towards parents, usually the dad, because amongst the siblings, either they're the ones who got beaten up pretty bad and the others weren't. Like, the dad would talk to the other siblings, but they got hit hard. What's your guiding principles in terms of how you discipline your kids? And is it equal on all counts? Or do you have, okay, for this particular offense, this is the equal correction or punishment? How do you gauge?
Yeah, there has to be, I guess, as a parent, my wife and I will have to agree on what would merit discipline and correction, right? And so it can't be, well, he ate candy before dinner. He got away with it with mom, but with me, you know, I disciplined him and took out his gadget, right? And so now, because of that, hindi na lang papahuli kay dad, kay mom, okay, with mom, right? So you don't want that, because again.
Yeah, kids super, are smart like that.
And so, so there has to be agreement. What merits discipline? What kind of discipline? And then we'll have to employ that. And there has to be consistency, because if it's consistent with one and what not with the other heart check would be favoritism, because favoritism has not, to the best of my knowledge, and I don't know, maybe there are other cases out there, but to the best of my knowledge, it really has not. Hasn't had good results for some people, a lot of people.
Yeah.
The one that is favored feels entitled. The one who's not favored feels rejected. And so that's very, I don't know if it's very, very Filipino or that's universal. Na, oh, see, even in a Christmas reunion, say, oh, sino yung favorite mo? Sino yung favorite? You get asked like that, right?
And so, and the gifts are compared. Gifts are
compared, and so we need to be very careful and watchful as parents, and check it out. Now, like for us, who's your favorite child? Oh, you know what? Nathan is my favorite 24-year-old, but you only have 120. That's right. Janine is my favorite 21-year-old. Ryan's my favorite 16-year-old. Joaquin's my favorite 11-year-old.
You know, I read somewhere that's how you know that the parents are successful, when every single kid thinks that they are the favorite.
Yeah, that's a good. See, Jelly, well, no problem. She just has a favorite child.
Yeah, and I have just one.
I have a favorite son.
And a favorite daughter.
I have a favorite son and a favorite daughter. So
it works really well.
It works out. It works out.
Okay. Let's sort of take a trip back in time again, back to when you were a new dad to the now married Nathan. And seriously, kudos to them. Can you imagine, JC, first year of marriage, you're in quarantine together? Wow.
Exciting. It's a forced honeymoon.
Okay. Forced honeymoon. So back to when you were a new dad to Nathan, how did you know your child's readiness, like they're ready for new responsibilities? Okay, it's time for them to be independent on this aspect. Now they can head out on their own. Now you can leave them alone at home. How do you know when a child is ready?
Yeah, you go slow and steady. You can gauge as slowly as you slowly give them responsibilities. You'll notice that. It's kind of like an inverted funnel. Right. It's, but you start off with very little privileges, and you give them responsibilities, and the more properly or rightly that they respond, you give them a bit more responsibility. And so that funnel grows, right? So we haven't done it perfectly, if I could just be very honest. And again, just you will need, every moment will be a learning moment. Failure will actually be a part of it, both for the parent and the child. Just remember that failure is an event, not a person. And so, which means expect it. They're, you know, they will try to bring you water, and then as a toddler, they spill it, they fall to the ground and break the glass, right? So that's going to happen. Expect it. But part of that, that's part of life. That's part of learning. That's why grace is important. We need to give grace to people. Grace-based parenting. To allow the children, okay, there will be mistakes, but we need to process this and learn from it. You know, to allow children to make mistakes is a good thing, but to allow them to keep making the same mistake over and over again is bad parenting.
Napaisip ako dun, ah.
Oh, okay. You know what's coming at me, Jels, as a very real modern fear that our parents never had to deal with is the internet.
Yes.
For them, maybe the big demarcation line of did I parent my child right was probably when your child would get the driver's license. Yun eh. But in our case, no. It's when you give them a phone, when you give them access to the internet. What's your take on that, Sir Paulo?
I don't know if there is actually a specific formula or age. I can't give you that. But again, as a parent, you will be the best to make that call. My 11-year-old son still, you know, I know there are younger kids that have gadgets now, but my 11-year-old son doesn't have a phone yet because he's homeschooled. All our kids were homeschooled at a certain age, and then they go into high school to regular schools. And so we tell him, you don't need to go out. You're not going out, so you're at home, right? And so, so you don't need a phone. And so they do have access. He does have access to iPads for school, no? Pero that kind of thing. So you have to determine what do they need? When do they need it? Do they actually need to be online right now? And so there has to be some parameters. And again, an understanding that this is a privilege, not an entitlement. And so this one is a privilege. We're giving you the privilege of using this gadget, but it's not an entitlement. It comes with responsibility.
Pastor Paulo, you mentioned something there that for a lot of parents, they're just experiencing now and it's forced upon them. But you made the decision to homeschool long before it was even becoming a byword. Why the choice to homeschool the kids?
That's a good question. To be honest, initially, because of what I do, I travel a lot as a pastor. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't even a spiritual reason but it was more so that we can travel.
So because the children travel with you.
Yeah, they were with us. And then, because we said, okay, so let's take it a year at a time. We see if we can still, you know, have hair on our head after a year or albo na tayo, di ba? But so, pumuti na yung buhok natin. After a year, okay, we'll try it one more year. And then one more year. And then we realized, okay, wow. The beauty of homeschool is that the world becomes your classroom. It's not just confined to these four walls in a building where you're in the grocery and say, oh, okay, could you get the salt and then the pepper? And then how much would that be if you put that together? And then that's now mathematics for you.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, you know.
Okay. I know we're completely digressing from our topic of really discussing parenting styles, but you know what? This sort of falls in anyways. Do you see any disadvantages to homeschooling?
I think there are advantages and disadvantages. And again, I think the one major question is the socialization, right? Mm. And so that could be a legit disadvantage. But the way you can, because there are parenting co-ops and how do you call that? Like groups that you can be a part of. So they can actually meet two or three times a week among the other children. They're all in the same level or even different levels. And they're all taking mape together or, you know, arts together or athletics together. That way it becomes flexible, yes, but you can have also a schedule where they can meet together. And then of course, you know, where I am, there we have there's a church community, and so that also becomes because that's a weekly thing, and not only a weekly thing, a few times a week. So there's also interaction there socially.
Okay, All right. I'm glad that question was answered. I apologize for taking us to a completely different route. But let's head back to the pressure, especially since we already started with social media and exposing the kids to social media. What are the other pressures you encountered with your kids? Like, for example, when they started to notice the person of the opposite sex, was that a time of pressure at the in your home?
Yeah, because, you know, because the world now becomes, they see, right? And so even strangers, they are in your living room or in your bedroom, in a sense, right?
Because yes,
you don't know these people, and then they're in the screen, and then they're there, right? And so I think those are the navigations as parents now in this digital age that we're in. Mm. So I think involvement, communication, and constant checkup would be helpful at this time. And so that's why if you can hold it off longer, the better, right? And so once kasi that's been given, that's already something that they feel they're entitled to, right?
Okay.
And so a consistent reminder, it's a privilege, not an entitlement. So and so those kinds of challenges, and of course, you know, the stuff that you don't want them to be seeing, right? And so we enroll gadgets on websites like accountability websites. There's this one, it's called x3church.com or x3watch.com, meaning it helps them. If they go to a bad website, it shoots an email to us and to whoever they sign up in their email. And so at least it becomes a deterrent for them. These are for the older children, right? For the younger ones, you know, I guess you want to be able to have conversations. And the other thing I wanted to bring up is this. I think we are very quick to say, stop watching YouTube or let me get your gadget without giving an alternative, without giving them another thing to do. Because, you know, of course they will say, Mom, I'm bored. Dad, I'm bored. And that's, for one, sometimes we say, you know what? It's okay to be bored. It's all right. You know, you can become more creative if you're bored. You can have, you know, do something else, right? You can find something else to do. But the other thing that I can say is this, that we want to be able to push our children to create more than consume. To create
nice. More than
consume. That's a book. That's actually not original. It's from Andy Crouch. His book, Media Wise Family or something like that. And so he was talking about... like for us, what we've done, and it's over the years and months, we put together a music corner in the home. It's very super simple. Keyboards, we have electric drums, and then we have bass guitar and amplifiers. And again, super simple setup.
That's simple? That sounds like a full band setup to me.
It's full band, but...
It's a home studio.
For my entry level. Okay. But cajon, ganun. So, the idea lang kasi is that they're creating something rather than consuming all the time. And so Legos, that's obviously an investment because you can give that to the next child after,
yes.
Right? Because yes. They last forever, right? And so those kinds of things that they can create more. I know there's Minecraft, they can create online, right? But it might be good to get kids off screen every so often.
Yeah, I like that. Create, not just consume.
I love it. I'm going to ask more about the whole romantic involvement thing because we happen to have, I think, Pastor Paolo, you are probably our guest who has kids who are of marrying age already, who are actually married. So I want to take advantage of that. Going back though, do you have a hard and fast rule as to when your kids are allowed to have a love life, so to speak? And then added to that, what was, without really, you know, asking too much about the private life of Nathan and his wife, what was the conversation like that convinced you that, okay, son, you're ready to get married? What was that like?
He liked Pauline when he was in second year college. Okay. And so he wanted to pursue her, and we said, okay, I think it's also important for us to visioneering is important to help them see the future. And so, okay, let's fast forward this 5 years from now, 7 years from now, where do you see yourself? Right. What do you plan to be doing? Right. Oh, I want to be able to, because, you know, both our older kids are content creators online, Nate Kunzalan and Janine Novella. And so they create content all the time. And so for him, okay, I want to be able to do this and do that. And so, okay, to be able to get there, right, what are the things you need to be doing now? I need to finish school. I need to do this, do that. Okay. Would this, adding this one to your plate, be helpful or not so helpful at this time? And so you're, kasi lalo na if they're already teenagers or even closer to 20s, critical thinking, helping them navigate and decide. Kasi what we want to be able to do, Psalms talks about children are like arrows. Because one day we're going to pull that thing, get that bow, and then going to release that arrow, right? And so we want to be able to release them when they're ready, because if not, they're going to get, you know, either we release them prematurely and they're not ready, or they get stuck at home and unsure of what the future holds for them. And so so that conversation had to happen, right? Where do you see yourself? To visioneer with him. And then ito naman, more of me. Sabi ko, Nate, if it's possible, my wife and I talked to him, if it's something that you can hold on to first, hold off to, because I want you to be able to finish college. And kasi once you're done with college, you can find a job and then go pursue what pursue her. And of course, you know, that took a lot of faith, because paano kung may mauna, what if somebody... Right? Diba? So we had to actually inject a bit of faith and say, you know what? If this is God's will for you, then go. I mean, she will be there, right? True enough, yeah. You know, as we all know, they're married now. So he, thankfully, he held off from pursuing her, loved her, liked her, stayed friends with her. And then the day after his graduation, he spoke to Pauline's dad and said, can I pursue your daughter?
And wow.
So the day after graduation, so talagang go for it. And then after that,
deserve an applause for that.
No. A year after that, they got married. And so parang, how do I know he's ready? I think it's, you know, it's important. It's not... I know, because we think of financial stability, right? And so the question for me, because financial stability can be a moving target. Why? Because let's say, okay, I need to have 1 million in the bank. When I get 1 million in the bank, I realize, oh, wait, I need to get a car. If I have a child, wala kaming car, it's hard. So you use the money. So you're back to zero in terms of money, finances, right? So it's really, and after that, life insurance. And after that, house,
a home, yeah.
So ganun na, no? So you'll never get married, right? So is it financial stability or financial responsibility? And so now we had to gauge, okay, is this guy responsible and a good steward of his finances? And throughout the years, we've seen it, diba? He was a very generous young man. He would give, you know, he's so funny. You know, at 10 years old, he gave out his Nintendo DS and his PlayStation to
his
child. Diba yung ganun yung, are you sure? Diba? You want to, you know. So he's generous, but at the same time, he's also good in terms of, he's quite stingy also. And so we see, okay, there's responsibility there. I think he's ready. And so, you know, pag nakita mo na yung certain principles and values, kasi, when values are clear, decisions are simpler. Not necessarily easier, but they're simpler. Okay. When values are clear, when I know this is important, then I'm making a decision in this direction because this is the right thing to do. And so being able to see all these things at work in his heart and in his life, okay, this guy's ready. He's not financially stable. Okay. Or at least he's getting there. right? Mm-hmm. As a content creator online, but he's also fine. I know that he's financially responsible and he'll be fine.
Mm. No, but seriously, kudos to you, Pastor Paolo, because how many kids do you know of would actually listen to their parents, especially when it's talking about their love life? Not only did he listen to you, follow your advice, which is to wait, and then for him to go through having to ask Pauline's parents as well. How many kids still do that nowadays? Well, it's like they take on, it's our decision, it's our life, that's it. So seriously, kudos to you. And I love that. I'm actually writing down most of the stuff that you're saying. And I love that when values are clear, decisions are simpler. It's such a simple statement, but it's a loaded statement. Thank you for all these great pieces of advice.
Again, I want to say it's not a perfect thing, right? Okay, there have been, you know, decisions my kids have done that were not the best. Okay, so sorry. When you're in home quarantine, everybody's around the room. So
that's true. Oh, but that's okay. We understand. You learn from those, you know, failures. You learn from those mistakes. JC?
Yeah. No, I was just thinking also about it's only a matter of time now before your very full head of hair, Pastor Paolo, becomes the hair of a lolo. And, you know, a circle of life. What is that? You've taught us a lot of things during this short conversation, but what are the main values? I think you used the term, principles, forever principles that don't change. What are the main things that you would want your children, the timeless principles that you would want your children to pass on to their kids?
Yeah. I remember somebody asking me this question about, 7 years ago, and I was unprepared, right? And so, because, you know, I'm sure you know this, because we just basically wing things every, you know, as parents. Like, I don't know how to do this, right? Let's try this out, you know? But four things I had thought at that time as an answer to that question was, number one is to love God. That would be something, if you think about constant and you think about something that is unending and eternal, and Him and His principle, God and His principles, we keep that in the forefront. That's one. Number two would be, so love God and then love other people. I think you'll never go wrong when you're serving. You'll never go wrong when you're helping people. Helping never goes out of style. Especially in these days right now of crisis, right? And so so that's number two. Number three is love learning. I think I want our children, I want them to love learning. And so reading, consuming content, yes. Being able to listen to podcasts, read books, watch videos, that's included. So I think number three, and just the world becomes your classroom. And being able to get a piece of information, because the name of the game these days is not accumulating information. It's now processing and filtering information. Everything's Googleable.
Yes,
you Google a word, true, and you have thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of websites about that one word, right? And so how do you filter and then process that information? And so critical thinking is important there. So love learning. Surely get as much as you can, but learn how to filter and to process. And then number four, still love laughing, love having fun. That's number four for us. And so if you come to our house, it's really magulo in terms of, obviously there's arguments and fights, right? But there are just amazing fun times also that are, you know, of course, all those TikTok dances now, right? Everybody gets into, right? And recently we went through Psalm 23, right? The Lord is my shepherd and all that. And so they even made a TikTok move for that, right? And so at least it helps you remember the verses.
That's so true.
You know, just be fun. Just enjoy. Life is too short not to have fun.
That's very nice. Thank you for that.
Love God. And the second one was love.
Love people.
Love others. People. Love people.
Love learning.
And then love learning. And then love laughter. Love joy. Love laughter.
Excellent. Precious.
Pastor Paolo, before we actually let you go, what is your main message for all the parent teams who are tuned in?
I just want to say that parenting is a wonderful journey. Being able to, you know, be a parent now for 24 years, it's not without heartaches. It's not without failure. It's not without mistakes. But nonetheless, it's a wonderful journey. I think about the verse that says, God is able to cause all things to work together for our good because we love Him and we're called according to His purpose. And when you think about now today, I don't know if you realize, a lot of people are baking, diba? A lot of, diba? Eggs are on the rise. And
yes, right?
So, when you think about baking, not every ingredient is pleasant and sweet. You take the flour, it's mapakla. You take the chocolate chip, that's sweet. The egg, I don't know, right? And so, you put them all together, and then you have a delicious cake. You think about life; that's how life is. Some are bitter, maybe. Some are sweet. But when you put them all together after 50, 60, 70 years of living, and even as a parent, you realize, wow, that's a beautiful life right there. Thank you, God.
I love that metaphor.
Okay, one last message. A lot of the parents are, everyone is actually going through very difficult times right now. And despite maybe in the past you felt like parenting is wonderful, I love this. This is so fulfilling. It can be difficult, but I love it. What is your advice to those parents who don't exactly feel that way right now just because they're inundated with all the stresses and the fears and anxiety? What's your message for them?
Yeah. What was helpful for us, especially in our early years of parenting, and even to this day, is we had to find people we can run to who were further along in the journey. And so I would encourage you to enlist about 2 to 3 couples that you can run to and say, hey, you know, what did you do? You know, how did you get through this situation?
Yeah.
And what were some of the advice that you got at that time when your kids were this age? And so that was helpful for us. We had a community that we could actually run to and say, oh, hey, listen, I'm really having a hard time. Could you help us figure this thing out? And so that was helpful for us. And again, I think there are parenting groups out there that can, it's on Facebook, you know, and let me know if I could be of help of any way, you know. And so we would love to even journey with you through that. So find some people that can help you in this journey.
Enlist the help of other parent teams.
That's exactly the role that you've played for us today, Pastor Paolo. So thank you so much for being one who is just a little bit ahead and is willing to share, you know, the ups and downs and the things that you've learned.
Yeah.
I guess on behalf of our listeners, thank you so very much for sharing all of your insights.
You're welcome. You're welcome. It's a privilege.
Thank you for the time. Thank you for the inspiration. Like I said, I was jotting down everything you were sharing because, you know, I'm trying to put it into my subconscious for use when the need arises with my daughter.
Just in case, lang shameless plug, ano?
We put please go.
We put up a page. It's the Punzies, Punzies. No? And so just go there. Like tonight, we're gonna talk about about the emotions of your child, how to navigate through the emotions of your child. And then
wonderful topic.
And then last week we talked about homeschooling. What does it mean to homeschool your children?
Perfect.
So every week long, every Thursday night, every 8 p.m., we have those conversations. And so
is the whole family involved? Like it's the whole family talking, kids, your wife, yourself?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're so para at least the perspective is not just I'm talking, but yeah, Dad, you say that, but that was not what happened.
80% of it is you, Dad.
That's already entertaining as it is. Aside from all the lessons they're going to pick up, they're going to have fun just watching you guys. Yeah. Can you say where they can find you again? The Punzies?
Yeah, the Punzies. And Facebook.
Is this on? It's on Facebook.
It's on Facebook, yeah.
So that's THEPUNZEES.
ZEES. Okay.
All right. Okay. We got it. Thank you so much, Pastor.
There you
Paolo
have it, everybody.
The line.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks and a lot.
You enjoy the rest of your day with the rest of the Punzies.
That's right. Thank you. God bless you guys. Checking Salamat.
Out. It's Bye. A so
thank you. Salamat din po. You know, I got a lot from the talk, and I hope our listeners will get a lot from the talk. And I actually hope we had more time to talk with Pastor Paolo. But you know what? We work with what we have.
And that just means we need to invite him back again. But there you go, guys. We hope that you enjoyed the episode just as much as we did. And hopefully the next episode, you'll pick up even more wisdom from not us, our guests. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks again. And that was episode 5, Finding the Right Parenting Style with Paolo Punzalan. And this was JCL Ellis.
And Jelly Victor. This is your Parenting Podcast. That's real parents facing modern problems together. Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Parenting Podcast.
Real parents facing modern problems together.
Brought to you by YF Nutrition Parent Team and powered by Podcast Network Asia.
For updates on the show, please make sure to subscribe to the Parent Team Podcast on all podcast platforms.
Yep. And for more YF Nutrition Parent Team content, visit www.yfparentteam.com.ph.